Okay, we continue the last two halachas of the Rambam dealing with the laws of interest. We're in Hilchos Malva, Lova Perek Yud Halacha Hey, Chapter 10, Law 5. And these were extremely difficult halachas. Took me a long time to figure them out. So if you don't figure them out, don't feel bad. But it's part of Hashem's Torah, and sometimes we've got to learn things that are a little bit challenging. Remember, the whole issue we have with many of the issues of having people use things of ours, or if you lend somebody, the most recent topic was lending grain to get paid back grain. And the problem is, when the grain is paid back, it may be worth a higher value, and that would be like receiving interest from the person. If you give him grain, and when you lent him the grain, it's worth $100, he has to give you back the same amount of grain. If it's worth $125 because the market's gone up, then the person effectively has given you $25 of interest, and it's rabbinic interest. So here's a situation where it's a little bit trickier, and does the rabbinic interest apply in that situation? We're speaking about a sharecropper. Now, the sharecropper gives a certain percentage of the crop to the owner. Whatever that percentage is, let's say they make up that the sharecropper is going to go in, he gets what he gets, he's going to give the owner, let's say, 20 bushels of wheat. Okay, that's what the owner gets, 20 bushels of wheat. Okay, now it's going to be a loan to the sharecropper prior to this sharecropper going into the field, and the sharecropper is going to want to pay him back from the wheat that he's lending him. Is there going to be a problem of borrowing wheat and paying back wheat at a later time, and we're afraid maybe the price will go up? Okay, and we'll see why he's borrowing the wheat in a second. Okay. Malve adam es arisav chitim v'chitim. A person, the owner of the field, can lend grain, wheat, to the sharecropper. For what purpose? Lazera, to seed the ground. In other words, the sharecropper, he just doesn't walk into a field. He's got to put seeds in the ground. He needs grain to put into the seeds of the ground. The owner says, now we're going to see in a minute, there's different types of deals. Sometimes the deal is the sharecropper provides the seed. Sometimes the owner has to provide the seed. And that makes a big difference in terms of when the kinyan begins, when the deal begins. But let's just start easily right now. So the sharecropper is coming in and he's got no seeds to seed it. And let's say the sharecropper is the one who has to provide the seeds. So the sharecropper made a deal with the owner. Okay, I'm going to work on this field for a year, and you're going to get your cut, Mr. Owner, is 20 bushels of grain. Fine. But now the sharecropper has no seeds to seed the ground. So what does he have to do? He has to borrow from the owner seeds. Let's say 5 bushels of seed, whatever, to be able to seed the ground. Now he's got to pay the owner back 5 bushels of seed. Now that could be a problem normally, because if you're borrowing grain and returning grain, what if the price of grain goes up? And that would be rabbinic ribbis. So is there a way that the guy could pay him back and it's not going to be considered rabbinic ribbis or not? And that will depend on one important factor. And generally the factor is, the deal was, the original, it's really a rental. Really, it's a rental. Even though it's a sharecropper, it's really a rental. Because the sharecropper, for being able to use it for a year, he's going to give the owner 20 sacks of grain. And that's the usual agreement. If the main idea of the Rambam is as follows. If we can make it that when the owner is giving him the grain, that what will happen is there'll be a renegotiation of the deal. And now he's saying, instead of the deal being I'm using the field and paying you 20, but now that you've given me the grain, we're starting a new rental agreement. And the new rental agreement, because you've given me the grain, is that the rental is now 25. It's not that I'm paying him back grain for grain. It's we've redone the rental agreement. And under those circumstances, then there wouldn't be an issue of ribbis. So the Rambam has to show us in which situations can we consider that the rental agreement has been reworked, and in which situation can we not. You can only rework the rental agreement if the agreement hasn't started. And when does it start? When effectively the worker is in the field and is starting his work. And that's what the Rambam is going to discuss. When does the agreement start? If the old agreement starts, we can't redo the rental agreement anymore. If it's before the rental agreement started, we can redo the rental agreement. So if we can get the sharecropper to borrow, or rather rework, the rental agreement before the first one has taken into place, we've redone the deal. But if he's already started the rental agreement, you can't redo the rental agreement anymore. So when the fact he gets the grain now, that becomes a separate loan, and that would not be allowed. Because if the Riemann already starts, then he's just paying him back the 20, and that's it. What's that 5? That's a loan, a separate loan. You can't pay back grain for grain. That's the main issue. Now we're going to go through and see how this works out.
Can't you just pay the market value of when you took the seeds back?
We're talking about paying back grain for grain.
Can't you? Why do you have
to? Well, that was the deal that was made.
Oh, I see.
Of course, can't you do a lot of other things, certainly. No,
but
that's all he's got. He doesn't have any money.
He'll have money when he gets paid.
Maybe he wants the grain. You're talking about ways out. We're talking about what's the pure halacha here.
Okay?
What's the pure halacha? When you're borrowing grain for grain, that's always the issue of grain for grain.
Right.
You're paying, I'm borrowing grain to pay back grain. Why didn't you ask that question the very first time? The answer is because the deal was to pay me back in grain.
Okay.
So now the deal is I'm lending you grain and you're paying me back grain. And this is how he works the deal. It's an easy way for him to make the deal. Here, I was supposed to give you 20 sacks of grain. You went and lent me 5 sacks of grain for that. Guess what? I'll pay you back 25 sacks of grain. It's a simple way of dealing with the situation. You're right. He could say, I'm going to buy 5 grains for what the value is worth now and then I'll pay you back later. But this is the simple situation. So let's see what has to happen in order for this to enable us to rework the agreement before the old one has begun or when it is too late. And that will depend on what the custom is, if who is supposed to supply the seeds or not will make a big difference.
What's the ribbis?
The normal ribbis, if I lend you 5 pounds of grain, and the idea is you're going to pay me back 5 pounds of grain. If I'm going to lend you 5 pounds of grain today when it costs $5, and when you pay me back when the market value is higher, then you're paying me back more money. And for the loan, you are paying me extra for the loan because I'm paying you back grain that's worth more money. So that's the issue here. So the Rambam says again, Malva Adam es Arisav Chitim Chitim, it is permitted for a person to lend his sharecropper seed for seed, Lizera, in order for him to use the seed that he is borrowing for planting in the field. Bain Kodim Shardar es Lasada, that's regardless if before the sharecropper went into the field to start working. Bain La'achashard, and even after he went into the field, to start the working, you can still do this. But under what condition doesn't matter? But Madvarim, when do we say that it doesn't matter? That even if he's gone in already, it doesn't matter. But Malkam Shinogu Shitina Aris is there in a place where the Aris, where the sharecropper provides the seed. Because if the sharecropper has to provide the seed, then as long as the sharecropper has not put a seed in the ground, then the rental agreement hasn't started. That's the starting point. That's if the sharecropper has to provide the seed. Just walking into the field doesn't mean anything yet, because part of the deal is he has to put the seed in. Once he puts the seed in, now we can't undo the agreement. So if he has to put the seed in, it doesn't matter before he goes down, once he goes down,
the clock
hasn't started. And what can happen if the clock hasn't started? Shrebiyad bala karka lasal kokos manchlo nasan. And now the owner can remove the fellow and stop the deal before he goes in over there. The aris, as long as aris has not planted yet, the share was not planted yet, he can't push him away. Now, since the rental did not yet start, and now the owner is going to give him the grain, what's happening now is we're changing the rental agreement. And now we're saying, well, before the rental agreement was just you providing the seed and I will get 20 bushels of wheat. Now you want me to give you the seed, so we're going to change the rental agreement. I'll give you the 5 bags of grain, and now you're going to give me back 25 bags of grain. I'm not paying you back 5 for 5. I am just making a different rental agreement. I'm going to pay you back 20. You're going to give me 25 for that. That's okay, because the agreement never really, the first agreement never went into effect. But if the situation is the owner has to give the grain, and I have to add in between the lines over here, this is what makes it tricky now. It's normally the owner has to give it. So why is the guy borrowing it from the owner? The answer is because the owner said, I know that's the normal way things go, but I made the deal is that you have to give the grain. He's saying that the sharecropper the owner went against the custom of the place, and he says the aris has to bring the grain. Alright. So imadain lo yared aris, if the aris has not yet gone into the property, can still change things. Arisa mutal halvas chitim bechitim. You can rent grain for grain. Shadain yeshasal, because the owner can remove him Because since the owner is the one who's supposed to provide, so then the rental agreement doesn't start yet if the guy has not yet gone down to the field. Nimtza be'esh yard l'sara. But when he comes, so now when he comes into the field, yard al dashi yachsul chinshol, he's going to give him back and change the rental agreement, and then that's okay. But in the case where normally the owner gives the grain, so when the guy walks into the field, he already, the deal already started even if he didn't get the grain yet. Because normally the owner gives it to him. When that happens, boom, once he walks in, he has to, even though the owner changed the terms of the deal, it doesn't matter, the rental agreement already started. Now the owner can't remove him anymore. Even though he's going to change the idea that he's going to provide the grain, still, once he's walked in, and normally the owner provides for that, the deal already started. So now, he's like anybody else, whoever wants to borrow grain. Now, the old prohibition of lending grain to get paid back by grain will not help. So what can you do, Paul? Of course, aval malveus stam, you can lend him stam al shara shuk based on what the value of the market value is, and then he'll be able to pay him back from that, and then that's not a problem. But we were talking, how could you give him grain for grain? But if otherwise you can't, then you just give it him as a straight loan, and you pay me back money for him, then it's not a problem. Okay, here we go. Halacha vav. Okay, this is the last halacha in Ribbis, so savor it, man. Okay, now here's a case, I'll just tell you, the case where there's going to be a loan for money, and instead of paying back the loan for money, the guy says, you know what, I promise I'm going to give you back wheat. Now what happens over there? Okay, so the loved doesn't repay the loan, so to speak, but he rolls the payment into a new loan of something else. Mm-hmm. How are we going to treat this? So, the creditor, he wants to collect the money from the guy who borrowed him money. He said like this, listen, tame him, I give him my money, sign to pay me back. Shani wrote, because now I need to go and buy some grain, because I lent you the money, it's time for you to pay me back, and it's coming whatever season that I need grain, and you're gonna give me the money, I'm gonna buy grain. Omerlo, so the guy says, oh, you need grain? Oh, that's not a problem. Say, go out. Go on and buy whatever amount of wheat that you need based on the amount that I owe you. Let's say I owe you $100. So you were going to collect $100 from me and buy wheat. So just go and buy. I mean, you're a wealthy guy, right? So you probably have some other money. So just go and buy wheat with your own $100. And now, so instead of me owing you $100, I'll owe you $100 cash, I'll owe you $100 of wheat. So he's effectively rolling over the loan. He said, I don't have for you, but you were going to get wheat. So just go get some wheat. And now instead of me owing you the money, I'm going to owe you the wheat. Why they chose to do that? The guy could say, no, I just want my $100. But the guy wants to roll over, as it were. So I don't know how much people would do that, but that's the case that's being presented here.
It's like a barter system almost.
So the question, now what would be the problem here? Because we're rolling over the loan, and what is happening over here? It's like he wants to, the Rambam is looking at it as, is this, he's paid off the old debt with the wheat that he was closing out the old loan, and now he's borrowing wheat from the lender, as it were. Now, that's what Rambam adds, very important. Now, can you do this? Well, im yesh lo chitim kishir ma'osav. If the guy has wheat based on the amount of grain that he is going to borrow from him, again, why isn't he giving him the wheat? Because I guess he needs the wheat right now, right? But if he's got wheat, and that's what we learned before, if you're lending out the guy wheat, you're buying wheat, if
you have... It's like the market price has been set already.
So if he's got wheat and mutter, you're allowed to do it. So in other words, it's like he paid off the debt with the wheat. And since he has wheat, he could always pay back the loan. So therefore, that's not a problem. Just like the old case when you're borrowing wheat, if you got any other wheat. But you have to have the amount. You can't get away with one little bit and a whole bunch. You have to have the whole amount. But if he doesn't have any of that wheat, you're not allowed to do that. even though the market price is out, because since he doesn't have any money or any wheat, so how could it be as if he would have gave him something? He doesn't have anything there. Because the rabbi said, the only time we go back and say, Shemutr Livsuk al Shar Shabashuk, when can you lend out the wheat based on what the price of the market is? Alpha P Shain Lo Klumios, I mean, even though he doesn't have it himself. Elabin Osema also goes perhaps. The guy gives him money to buy fruit, then you could do that. If a guy says, listen, I'm going to give you money, you're going to give me grain later, then we say that's okay, because he could take the money, the seller, when it's a seller, he could take the money and buy and pay and give him right away. But since we don't have that over here, Avala wrote to Lahamid Alvas al Gav Paris, but you want to roll this over into a new debt on fruits or wheat for that matter, us sir, you can't do it because money he doesn't have. So what's going to be the Kenyan with? And even if there's a market price, it won't help because he has nothing to pay him back with. So it's a straight out loan of grain. And since it's a straight out loan of grain, what will happen if the price of grain goes back up when he has to pay him back? That's going to be a problem. So therefore you can't do it. You can't roll over the debt of money to become a debt of grain unless he has, the borrower has grain.
Now,
then we could say it goes on that. But if he doesn't have that, if he had money, he should have paid him back money, right? So he's got grain. He says, listen, you go get yourself some grain and I'll sooner or later pay you back the grain. But since he has the grain now, he could do that. But if he doesn't have any grain, he's just pushing him off entirely. It wouldn't be good. And really the thing you should do is say, forget about the grain deal and we'll just keep owing me the money. Mm-hmm. That would be the better thing to do. Now let's take the story a little bit further now. Let's continue the story, but continue it.
Can I ask one quick question?
Go ahead.
Just for clarification. So let's say Reuven borrows money from Shimon, $1,000. And Shimon says,
it's time to pay back.
Time to pay back. And Reuven says, you know what? I don't have $1,000, but I'm going to give you grain instead.
But he's not giving him grain.
Right.
I'm going to roll over the deal. I'm going to owe you grain.
Now I owe you $1,000 with a grain instead of, so let's say that at that moment, $1,000 of grain is, let's say, 100 saw. So I owe you 100 saw of grain right now. So
now,
if
he can only do that. He can only do that if he indeed has 100 saw of grain right now.
Right. Okay.
He doesn't have it. He can't do that.
Now,
the lender, the borrower.
The borrower.
And why isn't he paying back the grain? Because he needs to do business with the grain.
Right.
Obviously, if he want to pay him back, but he has to have it. So why aren't you paying back? Because he wants to sell the grain, make some money, and he'll do some
maybe
deals.
Maybe he's seeding someone else's land or something.
So if he says $1,000 worth of grain I'm going to borrow from you, then $1,000 is $1,000 at any time.
I'm paying you back the grain. I owe you grain. I owe you $1,000 worth of grain.
Okay.
That's like a straight loan of grain.
Right.
That's what it is.
So
nothing else to say.
So
either he's going to say I'm paying you back cash or paying you back
grain. Appreciates though in value, it's irrelevant
because
I'm going to pay you
$1,000. Because since he has the grain, it's the grain.
Right.
He has to give him back that amount of grain.
Right.
Now, what is the grain right now?
Oh,
that's what he has to give back. The problem is that amount of grain he has to give back.
100 saw could be a lot more later.
But it could be a lot more later. So if he has grain now, then it's just, he made the switch right there.
Question, can you phrase it, $1,000 worth of grain?
And just give me $1,000. Just trade me a couple of $1,000 worth of grain. Either you're paying back money or the very grain I borrowed. You don't make a combination of both. $1,000 worth of grain is still $1,000. Doesn't matter anything. Just give me $1,000. Obviously, he doesn't want to give him $1,000. He just wants to give him the grain. This amount of grain right now is worth $1,000. And that's the amount of grain I'm going to give you later. And once you do that, now you're running the risk of the price going up. Now let's continue. What if hoyol aloy vechitim? What happens if the guy taka had grain? He had grain. So now he can roll over the loan for grain. Now what happens? Vasal vasal vechitim. He says, okay, now I'm going to owe you the grain that would be amount to that. Then comes the time to pay back the grain. Ubachers man varmala. Okay, tain lichitim. Give me the grain now. He's delayed it, you know, one whole paying cycle, right? Because, okay, fine. Okay, now 3 months later, okay, I'd like the grain now. This is what you made up.
Yeah.
The guy said, well, why do you need the grain? Because I want to get the grain and buy wine now.
Ah.
Mama says, okay, that's not a problem. So you know what? Let's just roll over the loan again. And for now, it's for wine. And now you want wine, so just go buy wine. And now I'll owe you the wine.
Wine can change in value too.
Right? So the same thing, im yesh lo yain, if he has wine, hareza mutter, v'nasavos es yain, then he can make the loan, roll it again for wine. V'im ein lo yain os, you can't do that. Hareish lo hoyelo, because if he doesn't have, over v'hechzer, period, vosser, you can't do it.
Right.
Same issue. So we're just saying, basically, if you're going to roll it over again, it hasn't changed. The first case started with money, became into product. Now it's product turning into product. Still doesn't matter.
You have to have the product on hand in order to make
same idea. Okay. Now, but what if Hareshalia, what if Hitaka doesn't have the wheat or the wine, and really he's not allowed to do this deal?
That's right.
You're not allowed to do it. You don't have any money.
Anyways.
He did it anyway. And the guy's gonna now pay him back the fruits. He's made it to pay him back. So now the question is, can he give him back those fruits? He didn't have it. Now, subsequently, now the borrower did get the wheat or the grain or the wine or whatever. He does have it. But when he made the deal, he couldn't do that. So now, he's not supposed to give him grain or fruit or anything. But what does he give him now? We don't want him to transgress. No, he gives him that cash to pay him back as avak ribbis. To avoid the avak ribbis, you pay the cash and you don't pay back the grain.
Based on the value.
Yes, but that time then there. If he did pay him back and he did transgress, what's the law? We do not collect it back because avak ribbis, one thing, we don't do it. Okay, we have a little more time, so let's start the 11th chapter.
Is that it?
I have a ribbis question.
Curiosity.
Go ahead.
I killed the cat.
I still didn't answer your question. I have to look at it tonight. You sent me an email about one ribbis question. I deferred it.
Maybe that's the one.
I know. It's still in my inbox. I haven't forgotten about
it. It's gathering
interest. But if I don't answer it tonight, it's going to be finished.
Do we factor in inflation at all? Like right now, inflation is so low, but when inflation is rampant, 10% a year, and the loan is for 3 years, that dollar is only worth 70 cents in 3 years. Do you have to pay him back in inflation, or is there inflation?
I don't know.
How about cost of living allowance?
There's also
the
thing.
Yeah, there's also deflation.
You'd have to factor that in somehow to avoid ribbit. I mean,
you're lending
a guy $100, and 3 years now that $100 is worth so much less.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah. So if you would add to that, that would seem to be ribbis.
Well, because the same thing is market price, but a dollar is a dollar is a dollar.
But it buys less. What if a dollar 3 years from now? What? So then that's a problem. I mean, you can't really take more.
But here, this dollar buys less grain when you're done.
It's also a process of deflation. It's worth more money.
I don't know the answer. It would seem pretty bad if you took $120 afterwards.
Would seem, yeah, exactly. But on the other hand, if there was inflation.
But even what we just learned, if the value of the dollar is determined by the cost of wheat, and now you're paying back dollars, and then later on you pay back dollars, but they buy less wheat, and if the value of the dollar is based on the market value of basket goods, which happen to be wheat, then aren't you?
But you're not getting back any money. You're not getting wheat. You're getting money for money. It's the same
money
you get when it's wheat. Wheat for wheat, you could play that game and say you're getting wheat that's worth so much more money.
I know, but
here the money is the same money.
I know, but that's
I think
it'll
be a problem. I think it'll be a problem because you give him 100, you take back 130. I understand what you're saying.
There is a mitzvah to loan money to your fellow Jew. What's that worth?
And then what happens if the thing goes down? What if what's deflation? Then you're making money on the guy. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. So give me only a second question, Shelley.
I wouldn't make
it. It's a long Sunday night. I should have time to look at it.
You can't recognize that the world today looks at foreign exchange, that foreign exchange is set, and that is something that the whole business world...
if you're paying back different currencies, you can pay back more. That's not a problem. If I give you $100 U.S. and you give me 120 Canadian, right?
That's
120 Canadian. That's paying me 100 U.S.
No, but if you do it like 3 years, like you're saying, how the dollars look, how the
so that's a problem.
Canadian dollars or Canadian dollars, you're doing something different. I'm just saying, $100.
Shell is just saying, in 3 years after inflation, the same money is worth less, and the guy doesn't want to get back less. he would want to say, give me back another percentage more of the inflation to make up for what I lost.
When there was hyperinflation.
So then maybe you should be lending him, you should
pay back $109.
Yeah.
It looks, it smells like ribbons.
Yeah, it would look bad.
Yeah, 3%.
So that hyperinflation, a month later, the monetary value could be worth half, you know.
I don't know the answer to that. I would assume you have to give the regular amount. Maybe there's something you could do in advance to prevent that. I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question, and I don't know. I don't know if the time
should give an advanced ribbish here. I should ask them.
All right, let's.
No, we don't have.
Let's start.
Oh, we do. Okay,
let's just start. You know, we got it. Okay, now we're starting now. We're still in the halachas of lending. Another question is, the guy, you know, borrows the money and you only want to collect and the guy hasn't paid, what kind of proof do you have to force him to pay? We know there's can be there's many ways you can lend money. You can just verbally lend it to you. Here, I'm giving you $100 and there's absolutely no proof that I lent you the money. We could have witnesses watching what I'm doing. That's a very nice type of proof, but they didn't write or sign anything. Or you could have a real document that says he owes me this and this and there's Aiden who signed this and this. Or we could even write somebody, what if the borrower admits that he owes the money and he writes in a document, I owe so-and-so certain money, and we know that's his signature, but there's no witnesses to that he did it, but we know it's his signature. There's a whole bunch of scenarios. The question is, how strong is that initial lending that would require how to pay back in that way or not? So that's the many issues that this chapter is going to discuss. Let's just start slowly. Hamalves chaveru bifnei edim. If a guy borrows money in front of witnesses, there's two witnesses who watch the transfer of the money happen. There's no document written. Okay, o sha'omer la'edim. Or let's say the borrower admits in front of two witnesses. He or says, heyo alai edim, you should be witnesses, shani chayev losemana, that I owe this guy $100. It could happen a week ago he lent me money. The borrower goes to two witnesses. I want you guys to know I owe him $100. I just want you to know I owe him $100. He's a very nice guy. He's admitting he owes him $100. Or you should be witnesses for the fact that I owe him $100. Whatever that is, this still goes under the category of zonekris milva alpe. It's called a verbal loan in contradistinction to a loan that's made on a document that has all kinds of different laws. In other words, if I just verbally, I give you the loan and all there was a verbal exchange, that has much more difficult to collect. Much if the guy denies it, obviously. A written document, very difficult to deny it and not to pay for it. What about just witnesses? So again, so verbal is called milva. You got to get the terms. Milva al peh means a verbal loan. Milva with a shtar is a written document loan. Now, what are witnesses? Just witnesses. There's no document, but there are two witnesses. Either they saw the transfer, or the guy who borrows it says, "I want you to know, I borrowed it. I want you to be witnesses that I borrowed it."
And witnesses to verbal.
Yeah, witnesses. So what do we consider witnesses? We consider that to be, in many ways, like a verbal, loan. And it'll be much less strict than a written one. We'll see why. I didn't even say anything. Can't ask questions. I haven't said anything. Don't ask me what I haven't said yet.
We never said when we had Ketubah. I'm telling you, I just gave her a ketubah. We don't give like an oral statement.
Well, obviously you'd like to do things in the best way possible, and therefore you write it down. But theoretically, you could have a verbal ketubah, but it's going to be very difficult to collect it. So we're going to discuss that. Obviously, if you want to ensure to the best of your ability to get your money back, you're going to have a written document, right? Doesn't always work that way for whatever. Maybe there's not a sofer nearby, right? Whatever the situation is, these are the realities of life. So here we go. Here's an important point. The first thing, so let's say simple. What if you lent me money just privately, me to you, right? So now, if I pay you back, how do I have to pay you back?
Privately.
Doesn't matter. I can pay you back any way I want to pay you back. Right? You just say, here, lend me $100. Here's $100. So when I want to pay you back, 6 months from now, here's $100. You're going to come back a few months and say, you never paid me back. I said, what are you talking about? I paid you back. Forget it. You have no proof I even borrowed it from you. Let alone you're going to deny you paid it back. So that's totally, when I pay back such a loan, I don't have any witness I paid back because there was no witness, there was nothing that showed that I owed it.
Better to get.
Okay, now, but here's the point. So now you have witnesses that saw the loan. So guess what? When I pay back, I do not, you would think he'd have to pay back with witnesses, eh? No. You don't have to pay back with witnesses at all, because that is considered still a milva al peh. It's considered a verbal loan. And here's the point. Because what does the fact that Aiding saw I owe the money, what can they prove?
You borrowed the money.
Okay, can they prove I didn't pay back?
No.
They can't prove that. You'd have to have witnesses that watched us for the last, it was a week, a loan for a week. There'd be witnesses with the, watching both of us for a week to see I didn't pay back, and they can't testify I didn't pay back. Well, you'll see, it doesn't really help that much. It really doesn't help that much. Well, we'll see, we could force some oaths and things like that. So on a rabbinic level, we can do some things.
Why wouldn't we bring them in then when we take them?
Let's hear everything first. All they can say is we know he owes him the money.
Okay.
Finished. Now, just because I owe money, who says I didn't pay him back? Who says I have to pay back witnesses? Nowhere says you gotta pay back with witnesses. All we know is he paid the money. Now, in contradistinction to a document, when the document is an IOU is written over here, we sign on the dotted line, you owe me $100. Okay, I borrowed from Shelley $100, it says it on it, and it's signed, and we agree he owes $100. Now, when I pay you back the $100, Shelley, what am I going to ask for before I pay you back that $100? And if I don't, I'm an idiot for not doing that, right?
Why wouldn't you always do it?
I'm just saying.
A person is an equal idiot if he borrows in front of witnesses and doesn't.
No. Because now, when there's a document, I have the way to prove, because what's the document doing there? Right? But now when there's no document, all the witnesses, as long as the document's in your hand that says he owes me money and I got something, and it also says you never paid me back.
Right.
And because on all I had to do is, I said, you want it back? Give it back to me. Give me back. And if I didn't do that, that is proof that he didn't pay me back. Because it's impossible to say a guy's not gonna pay, he's gonna pay him back without taking back the IOU. Right? But witnesses who just say he owed him, that doesn't mean he didn't pay him back, and there's nothing to take back. What if the witnesses aren't around? He's going to have to wait for the witness around to pay with this and that. That's the way the Gemara understands this. Lafika, therefore, imton, when there's only a witnesses to this, imton v'amarachav, if the guy says, parati, he says, I paid you back. Now, he's not going to get off scot-free, because then no one is ever going to loan again. But what does he have to do? Nishva hases. He has to make a rabbinic oath. V'niftar. And then he's off the hook, because there are no witnesses that can say he never paid back. Avol hamalves chaver b'shtar. Well, if the guy borrows it on a document that is signed and sealed, tzarech leporo be'edim. Now he has to pay him back with witnesses. If he does, either he takes the document, and then the guy says, you know, you owed me with the document. He says, yeah, and here's the document that I have it now. Or if I don't have it, because I paid you back. He says, where's your proof I owe you? But if you don't want us, if short of taking back the document, you, for whatever reason you chose not to, you'd have to have witnesses that saw him pay him back. And the witnesses will say that he paid him back. Lefikach therefore, imton v'amar. So what if the guy who borrows with a document says, Parati shtar zeh. He says, you know, I paid you back this loan that was on a document. Ain't an emon. We're not going to believe this guy, because the guy is going to say, listen, if you paid back, why do I still have the document that says you owe me the money? Ela oimrim lo. But the Bezdin tells to the guy who claims I paid back a document loan, say, oh, havei edim, either bring witnesses that said you paid back the debt, oh, ameud vishalem chovo. Therefore, just pay back the debt.
Again.
Right? And if the lovas, that's what you have to do. Yeah. All right, so let's stop over there. We got a little bit of a start into the new section.
I know that's...